On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Dianaroga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Now we go to the Mets as they traded Minter over the weekend. They traded Freddie Peralta on Sunday. And now we await more moves from the Mets over the next. And when you hear that sounder, that is, and you know this is the premier show for breaking news on this radio station. When you hear that sounder, it means we have breaking news. So do we have breaking news on the Mets, Fleeks? Is that what happened?
We do. Your amazing streak of breaking news continues.
Okay, so I hope it's not Clay Holmes. I don't want to see the Mets trade him. It doesn't sound like Bo Bichette's going to get traded. I'd be stunned if it's Lindor. I would imagine I'm going to go Brooks Raley got traded.
Close. It is a reliever. It is Waskar Brazoban.
Okay. And where did he go?
To the White Sox for two prospects. I'm going to dig up info on him now.
Yeah, because the thing is with prospects, you got to know what the ratings are, you know, or the rankings are. Because you could say, hey, they traded Brazoban for three prospects. But if it's like the 25th ranked prospect in the White Sox system or 15th, 16th, you know, you'd like to get some top 10 prospects. Now, they were unable to get that for Peralta. So I'd like to get that for Brazoban for sure. And when it came to this bullpen, you know, the thing about this now is Raley's going to be gone. Brazoban's gone. Minter's gone. It makes me think that Weaver could be sticking around. Now, obviously, you could trade all the relievers, but you need guys in the bullpen next year. Brazoban was under control for the next couple of years. Weaver is under control next year. I love Luke Weaver. I love his makeup. I love his mentality. I love everything that he brings to the table. He's obviously shown he can prove, or he's proven that he can pitch not only with the Yankees, but also with the Mets. So he's handled this market in two different sort of arenas, Yankee Stadium and Citi Field. So the more guys that get traded out of this bullpen, Minter gone over the weekend, and now, just now, Brazoban, breaking news, Ken Rosenthal first on it, traded to the White Sox, who have been busy as well at this deadline, adding pitching, and good for Chicago, they're going for it.
And we have the return. So the Mets got two prospects back. One is Gabe Davis. He's in AA. He's the White Sox 18th ranked prospect,
okay,
according to MLB Pipeline. And the second guy is Zach Franklin. He's in AAA. He's not in their top 30.
Okay, so not necessarily the greatest of
returns.
And he's
27 years old.
27. So he's a journeyman. He's in AAA. If he's not made it to the majors now to help out a team and he's not even ranked, it's probably because when you get that old, it's like they're basically like, we're not going to rank you anymore. So he's either major league ready that can help him at the back end of this year, and you're not getting a top 10 prospect for Brazoban either. You definitely want to get more for him, that's for sure. No doubt about it. Brazoban has been unbelievable this year and is under control for a while. So that's a guy you didn't have to move off of. Raley made sense. Minter made sense. Weaver, I can go either way. Brazoban, you're looking for more from than what they got there. Now, rankings are rankings. Obviously, a guy can get to the majors and be better than his rankings. It's just a number to go off of. It's just a gauge to go off of. Like Peralta, the Mets traded two top 10 prospects, Sproat and Williams, and they got back three prospects from the Rays. None of them are in the top 10. All of them are in the top 30. They got their 15th, 26th, and 27th ranked prospect. And as far as Freddie Peralta, let's go back to the beginning with Freddie. Let's go back to the trade itself, because I was literally on the air when it happened. And that's why they call me Breaking News Tommy. And this show is the premier show here on WFN for breaking news, because I was on the air when the Peralta, among many breaking news stories over the last 7 to 8 months. But Peralta was one of them. And I was extremely excited at the time. I thought, you're getting a top of the line starting pitcher, a guy that is your 1A, 1B to Nolan McLean. So that pairing, that duo, could be, you know, two essentially aces for the Mets this year, and perhaps beyond if Peralta had the great year and the Mets wanted to do business with him and keep him around for a while. There was obviously risk in the trade because Peralta was on an expiring deal. So there was always that feeling of, hey, Peralta, even if it went well and the Mets had a great year, that Peralta could be a rental and he could be gone. But you got to give to get. I always say that when it comes to trades. You don't want a prospect hug. You don't want to, you know, not every prospect pans out. Far from it. You got to give to get. And I was all for getting Freddie Peralta. The two best starting pitchers out there in the as far as that got moved, signed, traded, whatever in the offseason was Dylan Cease, who's had an awesome year. He was a starter for the All-Star game for the American League. I just hate the Cease contract, and I would not sign a pitcher of Cease's caliber because I still think I do not put Dylan Cease in a Paul Skeens or a Skubal or a Yamamoto. He's not in that category. And I wouldn't give any a pitcher of Cease's caliber that type of contract. So I like the idea of getting Peralta for some prospects. And I was all for the move. I liked it a lot. And it filled a major need for the Mets in the offseason, which was adding to their rotation, which they had to do. Now, as far as Freddie Peralta and his time with the Mets, you know, a lot has been said about Sonny Gray through the years, that Sonny Gray couldn't handle New York. And obviously, Sonny had success before he got to the Yankees. He has had success since leaving the Yankees, including now with the Red Sox, the surging Red Sox, who just completed a sweep of the Dodgers this weekend. And Boston is the hottest team in baseball. And right now, they are the best team standing today. We'll see how the next 2 months go. But Boston is just, they just swept the Dodgers, who everybody's crying about that ruined baseball over the weekend, and have been ruining baseball. So a lot was said about Sonny Gray, he couldn't handle New York. I didn't get that vibe with Freddie, that he couldn't handle New York. I don't think it was a New York thing. I don't. And I also don't think it was a Met thing. The Mets ruined Freddie, or they screwed him up. And look, it's open season on the Mets. The president is making fun of him. Bob Costas is making fun of him. Social media makes fun of them on a nightly basis. So it is absolutely now low-hanging fruit, open season to make fun of the Mets. And based on the, I'm not saying it's unwarranted, the making fun of, but that's where we're at. So everything Met bad, everything Stearns bad, everything they're doing bad. They're ruining pitchers now. You know, anything you can do to just sort of put the blame on the Mets, that is what is happening right now. I don't think the Mets had anything to do with Peralta's lack of success with the Mets. I don't think it was about not being a New York guy. I mean, everything you hear about Peralta, he's a stand-up dude. He always seemed like after these games, like he owned up to his failures. He was not skipping the podium. And everything you've heard about Freddie as far as being a great clubhouse guy and a great teammate, you know, he took ownership of it, Peralta. I just think it's one of those unexplainable things, which sports can be sometimes. Not everything, there are shades of gray. It's not always black and white. It's not always, this guy can't handle New York. He can't handle New York. Or, the Mets screwed him up. The Mets are, they can't get anything right with their pitching. Well, hold on a second. If that was the case, Nolan McLean wouldn't be pitching the way he's pitching. Christian Scott wouldn't be pitching the way he's pitching. Zach Thornton wouldn't be pitching the way he's pitching. Clay Holmes wouldn't have been pitching the way he was pitching before he got hurt.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So I'm not buying that either. And look, I think Peralta is going to be really good for the Rays. And this is obviously something the Yankees are going to have to deal with now, a team that they're chasing. I think Peralta is going to be good. I think Peralta is good. I like the move. And I was open to keeping Peralta, meaning when they traded for him in the offseason, I was open to signing him in the offseason. Because I've always liked Freddie Peralta. And even with some of his shortcomings, not being able to go deep in games, he has proven to be an all-star caliber pitcher, a guy who led the National League in wins last year. And much like Brazoban, I am disappointed in the return. I would want more for a guy like Peralta, who is not having his best of years, but I would have liked the top 10 prospect, ideally. Same thing with Brazoban. And to me, if this is type of the returns you're going to get, then I wouldn't trade a Clay Holmes, which I wouldn't anyway. But I would avoid, because to me Clay Holmes is absolutely a candidate for an extension here, and I would do that. He was pitching like an ace. He would have been an all-star. Clay Holmes would have been. He has done an unbelievable job transitioning from a reliever to starting pitcher. Another guy like Weaver, like Holmes and Weaver, they have been excellent with the Mets. And I'd like to keep both guys. And I would have been open to keeping Peralta if he had been having a good year and felt like this was going to be a home for him. But it never seemed to click. But I don't think it was a New York thing when it came to Peralta. I don't. And I don't feel that way with Bichette either. And the latest with Bo Bichette is that there haven't really been... Let me get the exact tweet from you, for Mike Puma put this out earlier on Sunday. Bo Bichette, whose contract contains a no trade, this is from Mike Puma on Twitter, covers the Mets. Bo Bichette, whose contract contains a no trade clause, said the Mets haven't come to him with any proposals, says it's highly unlikely he will be dealt. Now, I figured the Mets and Bo would have a conversation about the offseason, whether or not Bo is going to opt in, and if Bo is planning on staying, then obviously keep him. I mean, he has been way better than advertised defensively, and offensively, I still believe Bo Bichette could be the player that we saw throughout his career with the Blue Jays, which is one of the most, if not the most, clutch players in all the sport. A machine as far as offensively, especially when it comes to extra base hits and a high average, and a clutch player, a hustle type of guy, a winner, a gamer. You know, there have been a lot of players that have come to the Mets and have struggled early on. Great players. And a lot of those great players got through it, and despite some early struggles, ended up having great careers with the Mets. Beltran, Piazza, Lindor, Soto. Soto, Lindor obviously still going. And I'm not necessarily suggesting that Bo Bichette is all of those guys going to the Hall of Fame, but he is a really, really, really good offensive player, and he's been better than advertised defensively, especially when you consider he changed positions. But if he doesn't get dealt, Bichette, then I would imagine and hope that the Mets had a conversation with him about Bo sticking around. And it makes sense for Bichette to stick around, because where else is he getting paid, what, $42 million? I mean, that's a lot of shkarol. That's a lot of boxes of ziti. It's a lot of scratch. I don't know if Bo Bichette's getting that on the open market, especially who knows what's going to come our way with the CBA. So if Bo doesn't get dealt here on Monday at the trade deadline in the next 14, 15 hours, then I would imagine, or I would hope, that Bo Bichette is sticking around with the Mets. And I certainly would be in favor of that, because I love the move when he came here. I still really love the player. I think there's a lot to love about Bo, and I think if Bo gets back to that Blue Jay Bo, that Met fans are going to really embrace this player because of the hustle, because of the clutch hitting, because of the just that he's a machine at the plate. You know, I try not to be prisoners of the moment. And look, I get it. Peralta, you didn't want to re-sign him. His time here was a disappointment, for sure. He did not, Freddy Peralta, perform to the level that all of us expected him to be. Even if you were just, hey, he's going to be a five-inning pitcher, he's a six-inning pitcher, okay, even if you're saying that you can't get past that, nobody projected or foresaw a season with the Mets that Peralta had. Nobody. A guy who's in the prime of his career that you figured was going to get better and better and better. And look, I think he's going to be really good with the Rays. But I don't think it's because the Rays have the magic elixir and the Mets are just a worthless organization. Stop. Nor do I think it was a New York thing. Sometimes it's just unexplainable. We always want to just get to the bottom of something, get to an answer. We all believe it's got to be black and white. It's got to be one or the other. It can't be shades of gray. It just can't be the unknown. It just can't be... Same thing with Lindor. Lindor's having that type of season where I can't explain it. I don't think it has anything to do with a captaincy or a Juan Soto relationship or a podcast with our mayor or the players' wives. I don't think it has anything to do with that. I just think some guys have years where they have off years. And you can't really explain it. Maybe it has something to do with injuries. Maybe it just has something to do with whatever. Just not their year. But I try not to be a prisoner of the moment when it comes to really anybody, but Lindor here and Bichette. So those are two guys that I want to factor in and hopefully are being factored in for the future. And the same goes for Clay Holmes. And I know a lot of teams are interested in him. A lot of teams visited his rehab assignment. And you know this about me, if you followed me at all on social media or on this radio station, you know how I feel about Clay Holmes as a pitcher. And he has, I think, exceeded most people's expectations. You know, his first year was good. It ended on a great note as he kept the Mets alive going into the final day of the season. And the performance we saw from Clay Holmes earlier this year was magnificent. It was ace-like. It was all-star worthy. And Holmes showed you that he can go deeper into games this year. Like, he progressed as a pitcher. He didn't go backwards. And he had that first year where, okay, wasn't able to go, you know, 5 innings, 6 innings, that was it. But then this year you start to see him going in the 7th inning, and that was very promising from Holmes. I wouldn't move off him. I wouldn't move off him. Especially if you're going to get the return that some of the returns have been here for the Mets. Because Brosbon, if you're just tuning in, traded for one prospect that isn't even ranked by the White Sox. And then and that guy's in AAA, Zach Franklin. And then Gabe Davis, AA, who is not in the top 10. Brosbon, who's been great and has obviously got a lot of years of control left. And Peralta, you were able to get 3 prospects, but none of them in the top 10 after trading 2 top 10 prospects. And again, I have no problem trading those prospects for Peralta. I'd do it again. But you hope to get more back when you deal him, even with the year he was having, because he still has a great track record as a starting pitcher. So you would think a lot of teams would want his services and would be willing to part with a top 10 prospect. So if that's going to be the case, I would hold on a lot of these guys. Even more so than I already wanted to hold on them, which is Holmes and Bichette. And I've been adamant about that for weeks now. I would not deal either guy, unless Bo Bichette came to the Mets and said, I'm out of here. You know, there was a report like 2 weeks ago that Clay Holmes, this is from Will Salmon in The Athletic, that Clay Holmes is open to signing with the Mets, you know, re-signing, you know, an extension with them. And that's great. You know, when I read that, I was like, hopefully the Mets can do that right out of the chute. You know, when that news came out, I was like, hopefully within a couple of days, you know, forget the deadline, forget dealing him. You know, I think of a rotation next year, and I know he's on the Dodgers, and the Dodgers outspend everybody, but I still see a rotation of the Mets next year, my dream rotation, being Scooble, being McClain, Scott, Thornton, and Holmes. Now this bullpen next year, obviously with Brosbon gone, Minter gone, Raley will be gone. I look at Luke Weaver now as a guy that I would keep, and I've gone back and forth on Luke Weaver. You know, some days I said trade him, some days I said don't trade him. That's as a sports talk radio host. As a fan, as a Met fan, I've gone back and forth on it. But I also would be happy either way, even with the recent departures in the bullpen. If you get an out, you better get more for Weaver than what you've been getting, but I would be happy if Weaver is dealt and the Mets get a huge return, or based on the way he's performed. But if you can get even more, great. So I'd be happy that way. But I'd also be okay if they kept him, if the Mets kept Luke Weaver, because he's on a good deal, you know, $11 million a year. He's got one more left on the contract. You need arms in the pen next year. Luke Weaver could be the closer. He could be a strong 8th inning guy. He's proven he can do either. And he's proven it now on 2 different stages here. Once with the Yankees and now with the Mets. And I think it says a lot about Luke Weaver. As far as not only his abilities, but also the ability to handle, which is, you know, in his case here, because he's kind of now gone through it, both situations, but also to handle the pressures of late innings and these spotlights that present itself in New York. You know, we've seen it now with a full, and that's why with Peralta, it's only a couple months. I can't label a guy, well, he can't handle New York because it was a couple months. And I didn't see that in the personality or the way that Peralta handled himself after these games. I didn't see a guy that was just awestruck and spooked by the bright lights, the pressure, the scrutiny of pitching or just playing in New York. I didn't see that with him.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.